Welcome to the Strong Men, Strong Marriages podcast. Here we are on a mission to get strong, get attractive, and get the marriage of our dreams. I'm your host, Mike Frazier. Let's do this. All right, men, welcome to today's episode of Strong Men, Strong Marriages, how to earn secure attachment in marriage. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode, go back and listen to it. We'll do a little bit of a review today, but we want a secure attachment in marriage. We want to know we can count on our wife. We want her to know she can count on us. We'll get some questions by Sue Johnson that we just want answered well in a marriage so that we know we've got each other, you know, we've got each other's backs. So to do that, you have to kind of earn secure attachment for yourself, right? And kind of look back to your past and help resolve some of that old stuff. Because that old stuff, right, those old attachment styles, they come up in marriage. And so we want to work through those and generate a secure attachment in ourselves so we can generate a secure attachment in our marriage. So today we're going to talk about some steps on how to do that. You know, in a 20-minute podcast, you're not going to learn everything. So if you want to come do this work, which is important and valuable and will help you and your kids too so much if you can do this, join us in Strong Men, Strong Marriages. Visit strongmen.io, fill out an application, and come join us. But anyway, my name is Mike Frazier, MD. I'm a psychiatrist and marriage coach, and I help high-achieving Christian men have more intimate marriages. So some wins from guys in our program this week. Guys are having that increased mental, emotional, and sexual intimacy with their wives. You know, that's what guys come in for. That's what they want, and they're getting it. Right? They're having it happen. Guys are learning to release their emotions effectively. That's been a big focus for us lately, is not trying to hold those emotions in or quote unquote manage them, but you release them in an effective way. You know, like emotions are like farts. We've got to let them out or else they're going to cause issues. We just want to release them in ways that are useful. You know, go to a different room to release that fart if you you know, so that you respect other people, but still needs to be released, right? Go to the bathroom. Guys are uncovering, replacing negative self-talk. Man, as high-achieving guys, we tend to really have some negative self-talk. And so we're finding that, we're replacing that with genuine care and concern for ourselves, being loving to ourselves, compassionate to ourselves. It just makes a big difference because then we don't need other people to do that as much because we're finding it for ourselves and finding that from God too. Guys are responding with power to fears about their wife's infidelity, and that's leading to more intimacy. So if your wife has been unfaithful, it's rough, man. That's a hard thing. And it can bother you for a really long time. So we work on, you know, what can we do? What's in our power? So guys are doing that. They're sharing effectively. They're expressing emotions, right? And getting to more intimacy because of that. It's so cool to watch. And you can do that too, if that's been your situation. Right, guys are making great strides in their self-confidence, being able to trust themselves, you know, going through this work. It's awesome. So yeah, for me this week, you know, my son and I, we, you know, things have been getting a lot better, and kind of had a setback with me kind of not taking the time to understand him. So, you know, we were able to turn it into more connection at the end of it. You know, me listening, you know, expressing myself, expressing my emotions a little bit better with him, and then, you know, listening and coming to a better spot. So, the stuff works, not just with your wife, these skills, but with your kids too. So again, coming back to Sue Johnson, we mentioned her last week, and we use the same quote because I think it's really powerful. She says, underneath all the distress, partners are asking each other, can I count on you? Are you there for me? Will you respond to me when I need, when I call? Do I matter to you? Am I valued and accepted by you? Do you need me and rely on me? So in a secure marriage, right, the answers to these would be yes, right? Can I count on you? Yes. Can my wife count on me? Yes. Are you there for me? Is my wife there for me? Yes. Am I there for my wife? Yes. Will my wife respond to me when I need and when I call? Yes. Will I respond to her when she needs and when she calls? Yes. Do I matter to my wife? Yes. Does she matter to me? Yes. Am I valued and accepted by you? Am I valued and accepted by my wife? Yes. Is she valued and accepted by me? Yes. Do I need her? Does she rely on me? Yes. Do I need her? Do I rely on her? Yes. Now that one, we just want to be a little bit careful with the understanding of that, where we don't want to need her to the extreme. You know, we need her and rely on her in terms of, these things, being somewhere that we can count on and that's going to respond to us and that matters to us and that we matter to her, right? So that's what a secure relationship looks like. So to review the attachment styles, so secure attachment, me versus we is balanced. And you're doing stuff for yourself, you're doing stuff together. It's solid, right? You're able to ask for your needs and respond to your wife's needs with healthy boundaries. It's what we call interdependent. Stephen Covey talks about going from dependent to independent to interdependent is kind of the last step on the road. And where we want to live is a secure attachment and, working as a team and as a marriage and in relationships, all of that. Avoidant attachment is more me over we. You don't ask for what you need. You don't respond well to needs. You value independence really highly. So a lot of high achieving guys operate in this way, really value independence. Anxious or ambivalent, it's kind of fluctuating me and we. It's about you. No, it's about me. You hold in your needs and then they explode. This is kind of like mosquito cycle stuff. You're overly responsive to your wife's needs and then you burn out, right? You fluctuate being dependent and independent, but you can't quite find that interdependent. So this definitely described my relationship with my wife for a long time and avoidant. Disorganized, just have this low trust of yourself and other people. And so it's just hard to share anything or be kind of cold, cut off. So an avoidant relationship will look like roommate-ish, not much connection. Anxious and ambivalent will look like things are okay. And then you have these big fights. It disorganized will probably just be kind of look like avoidant, but even less like trust involved there, more fear. Okay. So what do you need to do? So if you're more on the avoidant side, so this comes from Dan Siegel's work. He's a big guy on attachment. He's talking more about like attachment in childhood and with the kids and stuff, but to earn your own secure attachment, because it starts with you, what you want to do first is explain to yourself how you got the message of the avoidant, which is I have to do everything myself. The message that you had to do it all on your own. How did I get that message growing up? What experiences did I have? So when you can do that, instead of just saying like, oh, my growing up was fine, like really looking back and saying, okay, like where did I get this message? I got to do it myself. Okay. How was it that my parents or caregivers were not really there for me physically, mentally, or emotionally? What happened that made me kind of take that message home? So when you can tell yourself that story, it integrates your experience and it lets you build new. It says, yeah, there were some of that. And I did take that message away. So then that's step one, right? You've got to realize, hey, this did come from somewhere. And you kind of be kind to that younger version of you. Like, hey, yeah, man, like people, they weren't there for you in some ways. And that's okay. That's not bad on, that's not really their fault. I'm sure they were doing the best they could. They probably grew up with avoidant parents too, is usually how this happens. We kind of pattern after what we saw in our parents. So then once you realize, hey, like I have a reason for thinking this way and operating this way, and it actually has helped me in some ways. Now you start looking for ways that your wife and other people are there for you, because the main message for the avoidant person is no one's there for me. I have to do it myself. So you're looking for evidence. Hey, maybe that's not true. Maybe there are some people there for you. And maybe my wife is there for me. Then you start asking for what you want from your wife and kind of sharing what you're thinking and feeling. This is scary for someone that grew up with this avoidant, because you're like, oh man, she's not going to listen. She doesn't really care. She doesn't want to be there for me. She's, all of that. So you could start small. So for me, I had some of this avoidance stuff for sure. It was hard for me to ask for what I wanted. So you can start small with a request, just like, hey, could you make some dinner tonight? What I found, I was like shocked. I was honestly shocked when I started asking my wife for things that I wanted, small things. She was almost always like, yeah, sure. No problem. She's kind of glad that I actually started asking her for what I wanted. And when I started sharing a little bit what I was actually thinking and feeling, super powerful. And really, like, I'm still in the work of that right now, of just trying to share more of what I'm thinking and feeling with her. It's been awesome, to really let her see me and have her be there for me. The hard thing is, some guys will do this and their wife won't be there. And then you've got a decision to make. Well, am I still going to stick with her, even though she's not going to really be there for me? Or am I going to divorce her if she's going to choose that? And that's hard. Fortunately, in my case, and a lot of guys that I work with, their wife does respond when they start doing this. So you got to kind of fight through that fear. You got to have that courage to start doing this, start sharing what you're actually thinking and feeling, start asking for things that you want, and just hoping, hoping that you will respond, right? Because if you don't give her the chance, she can't, right? And that's the thing the avoidant person has to understand. So then you start bringing, more of the we, because avoidance all about me and not so much we. So start bringing in more we, start asking for what you need more, responding to your wife's needs a little bit more, asking her what she needs. So the work of the avoidant really is to move from independent to interdependent. You're good at doing stuff on your own. Now you have to realize, hey, people actually do care about me, and they will be there for me, and they want me to succeed, and they care about what I'm thinking and feeling. And look for those people, right? And your wife may just be one of them. Okay. So that's the work of the avoidant person. So as you can tell, you know, I definitely have to do some of this work. I'm still doing it, but it's been awesome since I've been doing it. And the guys I'm working with too, they're doing a great job. So the work of the anxious and our ambivalent person, same first message, right? Which is, hey, explain to yourself and be kind to yourself of how you got this message, that people sometimes are going to be there, sometimes they're not going to be there for me. Okay. How did you get that message? What experience did you have? Okay. Instead of saying, oh, my growing up was fine, just really look and say, you know, yeah, I did kind of get the message. Sometimes people would be there, sometimes they wouldn't. So again, that lets you integrate that experience. This helps you get that earned secure attachment to yourself, right? Of saying, yeah, you know what? I do have reasons for operating this way and believing sometimes people will be there and sometimes they won't. So one of the big things for the anxious ambivalent person to realize is that you're not responsible for the emotions of others. So for me, man, that was such a breakthrough. I share that in the first couple episodes of the podcast. If you haven't listened to those, go back and listen to like the first four. It's a good introduction to what we talk about here. But yeah, just like, oh, I don't, like, if she's mad, that's not always about me. You know, she has to kind of deal with that instead of me trying to deal with it for her. Man, like, what freedom comes from that? Super powerful. And then same thing though, like you're getting that impression, hey, sometimes they're going to be there, sometimes they're not. So I kind of have to take care of myself. I have to take care of other people's emotions. So you start asking for what you want and need also. Okay. The other thing for the anxious ambivalent person to do is to start saying no to what other people want. The avoidant person has a little bit easier time with that. The anxious ambivalent person kind of has a hard time saying no because they're worried, right? Okay, that's going to upset them. Then they won't like me, right? Then they won't be there for me. If I keep them happy, maybe they'll be there for me more, right? So, you know, when I look at this through this lens, you know, the mosquito cycle is kind of like this guy, the anxious ambivalent guy. Okay. So again, like you're starting to say no to what other people want. You're starting to express yourself more. You're starting to take less responsibility for other people's emotions and share more of what you want and need. So, you know, you're finding that middle ground, that interdependence, right? So instead of flipping between dependent and independent all the time, okay, I need you. I want you to care about me. Oh no, I don't need you at all. Right. That's how the anxious ambivalent person kind of operates. Or I'm going to do everything for you. Oh, but you don't do anything for me. So I don't want to do anything for you. Oh, but now I'm going to do everything for you again. Right. That's how this person operates. So again, we're trying to step out of that and into this interdependence where, hey, I'm here for you and I have boundaries. Sometimes I'm going to say yes. Sometimes I'm going to say no. Hey, if you're mad, that's not always my fault. Sometimes you just need to take care of that. And I need to figure that for me sometimes. And sometimes we can help each other, right? It's just, it's more and instead of or. That's the work of the anxious ambivalent person. The work of the disorganized, if you drew up with more disorganized, is, again, just explain to yourself how you got this message that you know, the people that you're supposed to trust are going to hurt you, right? That's kind of the message the disorganized person takes. So again, this integrates your experience, lets you build new ones instead of like, yeah, I mean, my parents weren't that great. Really look at those experiences and say, yeah, you know, my parents did hurt me. They were on drugs. They did have mental illness. It was scary sometimes at home. And yeah, that made me think people can't really be trusted and I kind of have to walk on eggshells and all of that. So for this one in particular, attending to that younger you, that like inner child, is really important, where if you can kind of imagine that younger you, who, you know, let's say his dad had a huge drinking problem. If you can like look at that younger you and say, man, like that 2-year-old didn't need to see that with his dad drunk and hitting him and hitting his mom. You can kind of like imagine being there and say, hey, like I've got you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm there for you. We're going to help find you other people that are going to be there for you. Right. So this helps with all of them. If you can kind of picture that younger you and just like provide yourself, and this is kind of like imagination work, but super powerful. I've been doing this, really powerful, kind of looking back to my younger self, checking in, see what he needs. Little Mikey, call him, so last night I had a treat because like little Mikey wanted a treat, and that was cool. Felt taken care of, taking care of myself. But yeah, for disorganized in particular, you want to take some time to do that. Therapy is probably going to be helpful for you. Coaching, like I always recommend therapy and coaching anyway. But, just look for that evidence that people can be safe and trusted. Yeah, maybe your parents, or caregivers were not that, but there are people that are that. Hey, like 50% of the population secure attachment. So like one in every two people probably is pretty good and like grew up in a way that they can be more safe and trusted. And again, kind of the same thing as with all of these, like starting to make little requests to start building trust is really powerful, because you're trying to prove to yourself, again, coming back to Sue Johnson's questions, can I rely on this person? Are they there for me? Are they going to be there when I call? Do I matter to them? The only way you're going to prove that to yourself is by asking them for things you need, giving them the chance to be there for you. And look, guys, in a lot of your cases, a lot of you guys listening, when you start doing that, your wife will prove to you that she is going to be there for you. Okay, it's hard, especially if you have an avoidant or ambivalent attachment style to do that, or disorganized attachment style to do that. But when you do, you can start earning that secure attachment with her. Okay. So for all these, the overall work, and this is the work we do in our program, is the same. It's building up your self-worth, self-esteem, and self-confidence, connecting with God, taking care of that younger you. So you're managing, you're taking care of all that, right? Taking care of yourself. I say managing a lot, I'm kind of starting to move away from that. Taking care of yourself, right? You need to learn about your thoughts and how those influence, how you feel, what you do, your intentions, right? You need to learn that. We have tools to help you do that. You need to learn how to release emotions effectively. We don't want to just try to change your thinking to change your emotions. We need to learn how to release those emotions, or they do build up and cause a lot of issues. And being able to release those to your wife, right? Let her know, hey, like today I'm feeling sad. Today I'm feeling angry. Today I'm feeling frustrated, right? Today I'm feeling anxious. I'm nervous about what's going on at work, right? Sharing that with her lets her be there for you, okay? So yeah, learn to share what you're thinking and feeling with your wife, and then respond to what your wife is thinking, feeling in a safe way. That's what you need to learn how to do. Learn to ask what you want and respond to what your wife wants, right? And then learning to set and keep appropriate boundaries and respect your wife's boundaries, okay? Then as you do all that, bring that fun, flirting, and passion to your marriage. That's what makes marriage special. So it's a decent amount of stuff you need to do. But what we've done in the program is simplified it to a few daily habits that you'll be able to do that will do all of this for you. Okay, so come join us in Strong Men, Strong Marriages. Visit strongmen.io or visit the link in the show notes, and we'll help you go through this process and go through it with you. It's super powerful, totally worth it. Harvard study of adult development tells us, like, if you want to live a long, happy life, it's the quality of your relationships that determine that. So what this program teaches you is how to have great relationships for the rest of your life with yourself, with God, with your wife, with your kids, with everybody. So come join us, strongmen.io. Visit the link in the show notes, fill out an application. We'll get back to you with your best next steps. All right, stay strong, men. We will see you next episode. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please leave a review on iTunes and share the episode with a friend so we can help create stronger men and stronger marriages across the world. And if you're ready to take your strength training and your marriage to the next level, visit strongmenstrongmarriages.com to learn how. I'll see you there.